Warriors.
Assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories, all glories, all glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naranchaiva Narottamam. Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam. Tato Jaya Mudirai. Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Bhagavati Uttama Shloke. Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 5, titled Lord Rishabhadev's Teachings. We are on text 7. Yada na pashyati ayata guneham Swarte Pramattaha Sahasa Vipaschit Katasmritir Vindati Tatra Tapan Asadhya Maitunyam Agaram Agnyaha Yadana Pashyati Ayathagunehaam Swarte Pramatta Sahasa Vipaschit Gata Smritir Vindati Tatra Tapan Asadhya Maitunam Agaram Ajnaha. Sorry, I didn't realize that there is no board with the translation. So if anybody would like to repeat, if they have a book, or we'll proceed to the word-by-word meanings and translation. Yada, then, na, not, pashyati, sees, ayata, unnecessary, Guna Iham, endeavor to satisfy the senses. Swa Arthe, in self interest. Pramattaha, mad. Sahasa, very soon. Vipaschit, even one advanced in knowledge. Gata Smriti, being forgetful. Vindati, gets. Tatra, there. Tapan, material miseries. Asadhya, getting. Maitunam, Maitunyam, based on sexual intercourse. Agaram, a home. Agnyaha, being foolish. Translation. Even though one may be very learned and wise, he is mad if he does not understand that the endeavor for sense gratification is a useless waste of time. Being forgetful of his own interest, he tries to be happy in the material world, centering his interests around his home, which is based on sexual intercourse and which brings him all kinds of material miseries. In this way, one is no better than a foolish animal. Purport. In the lowest stage of devotional life, one is not an unalloyed devotee. Anyabilashita shunyam jnana karmadi anavritam. To be an unalloyed devotee, one must be freed from all material desires and untouched by fruitive activity and speculative knowledge. On the lower platform, one may sometimes be interested in philosophical speculation with a tinge of devotion. However, at that stage, one is still interested in sense gratification and is contaminated by the modes of material nature. The influence of Maya is so strong that even a person advanced in knowledge actually forgets that he is Krishna's eternal servant. Therefore, he remains satisfied in his household life, which is centered around sexual intercourse. Conceding to a life of sex, he agrees to suffer all kinds of material miseries. Due to ignorance, one is thus bound by the chain of material loss. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport to Canto 5, Chapter 5, Text 7. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shlakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shiyuta Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsya Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Saganar Tanvitam Tham Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitam Sucha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Jayapataka Swamin Tinamine Nama Acharya Padaya Nitai Kripa Pradayine Gaurakata Damadaya Nagaragrama Tharine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Gopi Pranadana Dase Itinamine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamini Dinamine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vanchakalpadarubhyascha Kripasandubhya Evacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gauravakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langa Etegrim, Yat Kripatamaham Bande Shri Gurunatarinam, Yat Kripatamaham Bande Paramanandamadavam Shri Chaitanya Ishvaram, Katanchana Smrite Esmindushkaram Sukaram Bhavet Vismrite Vipritam Syat, Shri Chaitanyam Namamitam. So here in this purport, in this chapter, we have some of the most famous verses that we have been acquainted with in our Krishna consciousness movement. These are very, very important verses for us to understand the value of pure devotional service vis-a-vis material life. And here in this text, it is said that even though one may be very learned and wise, he is mad if he does not understand that the endeavor for sense gratification is a useless waste of time. So, Prabhupada in his purport, what to speak of a gross materialist who is interested in the advancement of material knowledge, who is obviously mad. Prabhupada does not speak about such a person. Rather, he is speaking about somebody even more greater than that, and he condemns even that. He speaks of somebody greater than a gross materialist, somebody higher than a gross materialist. He's alluding to somebody who is practicing even the processes of karma or jnana. with a little bit of bhakti. He's condemning even such a person. Because Prabhupada says that the influence of Maya is so strong that even a person advanced in knowledge actually forgets that he is Krishna's eternal servant. On the lower platform, Prabhupada says, one may sometimes be interested in philosophical speculation with a tinge of devotion. However, at that stage, one is still interested in sense gratification, and is contaminated by the modes of material nature. So, leaving aside the gross materialist, Prabhupada is even condemning this process of, Prabhupada is not recommending this process of this gradual elevation from karma to jnana with a little tinge of bhakti. So, what Prabhupada is speaking about here is anyabhilashita shunyam, as he quotes, jnana karmadi anavritam. That's what is recommended by Rupa Goswami. Anyabhilashita shunyam, jnana karmadi anavritam, anukulena krishna anushilanam, bhakti uttama. So, since this is a very small purport which speaks about the other processes have some deficiencies, and it is only pure devotional service which is the best. So I thought that it would be good for us to look briefly at what Prabhupada has commented on this particular verse in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Anyabhilashita Shunyam verse. So Prabhupada, first I'll read the translation of that verse. This is from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Nectar of Devotion. And it is important for us to speak on this verse, especially given the direction that this is Radhashtami. So I was asked to speak on Srimati Radharani. Now, Srimati Radharani is fully manifested in the personality of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So if we need to understand Srimati Radharani, we need to understand Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can be only understood through Rupa Goswami. Sri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale. So it is Srila Rupa Goswami who understands Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Rupa Goswami's teachings are presented to us by Srila Prabhupada. And Rupa Goswami's two very central books to our practice of devotional service is the Nectar of Instruction and the Nectar of Devotion. Now, this Nectar of Devotion, one devotee told me that he was once sitting in a class given by Tamal Krishna Maharaj. And in that class, Tamal Krishna Maharaj mentioned how once he brought up this point to Prabhupada, his realization that the Krishna book is about Krishna, but the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is about Srimati Radharani. And Prabhupada immediately liked it and he said yes. So, to actually understand Srimati Radharani, to actually understand Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we have to read Rupa Goswami's Nectar of Devotion. And that Nectar of Devotion has been very nicely summarized. Sorry, we have read Rupa Goswami's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And that has been made very simple for us because Prabhupada summarized it in his book called The Nectar of Devotion. So let's look at this particular verse, Anyabhilashita Shunyam, and discuss that a little bit. So the translation of that goes like this. When first-class devotional service develops, one must be devoid of all material desires, knowledge obtained by monistic philosophy and fruitive action. The devotee must constantly serve Krishna favorably as Krishna desires. So Prabhupada writes in this purport, this verse is also found in Srila Rupa Goswami's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.1.11. Because this is from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, so Prabhupada, that's why he's saying this is also found in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. As we can understand from the Bhagavad Gita 9.34 and 18.65, The Supreme Personality of Godhead wants everyone to think of Him always. Manmana bhava mat bhakto. Everyone should become His devotee, not the devotee of a demigod. Everyone should engage in His devotional service, including archana, deity worship in the temple. Manmana bhava mat bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru. Everyone should offer obeisances from moment to moment to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. These are the desires of the Supreme Lord. And one who fulfills his desire favorably is actually a pure devotee. Krishna wants everyone to surrender to him. And devotional service means preaching this gospel all over the world. The Lord says openly in the Bhagavad Gita, 1869, Nachatasman manusheshu kashin me priya kritama. One who preaches the gospel of the Bhagavad Gita for the benefit of all is most dear to Krishna. The Bhagavad Gita is spoken by the Lord so that human society can be perfectly organized from all angles of vision, politically, socially, economically, philosophically, and religiously. From any point of view, human society can be reformed by the Krishna consciousness movement. Therefore, one who spreads this philosophy of Krishna consciousness for the benefit of all conditioned souls in the universe is perfect in pure devotional service. So proper use of the expression is perfect in pure devotional service. The criteria is that a devotee must know what Krishna wants him to do. This understanding can be achieved through the medium of a spiritual master who is a bona fide representative of Krishna. Srila Rupa Goswami advises, Adau Guru Ashrayam, one who is serious in wanting to render pure devotional service to the Lord, must take shelter of a spiritual master who comes in the disciplic succession from Krishna. Evam parampara praptam imam rajashyo viduhu. Bhagavad Gita 4.2. Without accepting a bona fide spiritual master coming in the disciplic succession, one cannot find out the real purpose of devotional service. Therefore, one has to accept the shelter of a bona fide spiritual master and agree to be directed by him. The first business of a pure devotee is to satisfy his spiritual master, whose only business is to spread Krishna consciousness. And if one can satisfy the spiritual master, Krishna is automatically satisfied. Yasya prasadat bhagavat prasadam. This is the success of devotional service. This is the meaning of the word anukulena, that is favorable devotional service to the Lord. A pure devotee has no plans other than those for the Lord's service. He is not interested in attaining success in mundane activities. He simply wants success in the progress of devotional service. For a devotee, there cannot be worship of others or demigod worship. A pure devotee does not engage himself in such pseudo devotional service. He is only interested in satisfying Krishna. If one lives only for the satisfaction of Krishna, it does not matter whether he belongs to this order of life or that order of life. One's only business should be to satisfy Krishna. This process is completely manifest in the activities of the Krishna consciousness movement. It has been actually proved that the entire world can accept devotional service without failure. One simply has to follow the instructions of the representative of Krishna. So this is Prabhupada's purport to the Anyabhilashita Shunyam verse. So we note a few key points in this, that the desire of Krishna is transmitted to us through the medium of the bona fide spiritual master. And in our context in ISKCON, that would mean that The desire of Sri Chaitanya Mahakrishna, the desire of Radha Srimati Radharani is expressed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is expressed by Rupa Goswami, and which is handed down to us by our founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada. And all his followers follow that, both the gurus and disciples and grand disciples, whatever, all generations follow the teachings of Rupa Goswami as given to us by Srila Prabhupada. That's what it means to be the founder Acharya of ISKCON. So he has said here that the success of pure devotional service is to, the first business of a pure devotee is to satisfy his spiritual master, whose only business is to spread Krishna consciousness. And if one can satisfy the spiritual master, Krishna is automatically satisfied. That is the success of devotional service. So Prabhupada has given us here the blueprint. Now, he made ISKCON especially a guru-centric organization, in the sense that, if you notice, the Prabhupada instituted the Guru Ashtaka prayers in the morning, instituted the Guru Puja. Now, these were not part of the Gaudiya Math or the other institutions. These were exclusively designed by Prabhupada and given to us. So, we worship Srila Prabhupada and our spiritual masters through the morning prayers. Then we have Guru Puja for Prabhupada. So, Prabhupada has put that in the center, that the success of this Krishna consciousness movement depends on how well we follow his instructions. Now one may think that this verse is speaking about pure devotional service, and are we on that platform of pure devotional service? Pure devotional service actually has various levels. Begins with Shraddha and goes up to the level of Prema. So sometimes when Prabhupada used to be asked, how many pure devotees are there in this movement? And during Prabhupada's physical presence, there are only his disciples. So Prabhupada would ask, how many disciples are there in this Krishna conscious movement? How many devotees are there? And they would say whatever is the number. And Prabhupada would say, that many pure devotees we have. So what do we understand from that? We understand that the eligibility for devotional service comes to us through the medium of a pure devotee's mercy. Now this other process, let's say the karma, jnana, all these are the standard processes. Usually one is not directly eligible to practice pure devotional service. That is a fact. One is not directly eligible to practice pure devotional service. But a pure devotee of the Lord makes one eligible by his mercy. So the practice of pure devotional service depends on the eligibility, the whole process depends on the mercy of the pure devotee. We are in the process of pure devotional service simply because Prabhupada gave it to us. Otherwise, there's no eligibility to practice the pure devotional service. Without the mercy, all the acharyas have explained, it is only the pure devotee who can give us this pure devotional service, who can make us eligible to practice this pure devotional service. And when we say eligibility, there are various levels. Just like a school, let's say a regular school, or let's say Krishna conscious school. So you have different grades. You have grade 1, grade 2, grade 3, grade 4, grade 5, and like that. It goes on all the way until your final education is complete. So you don't find normally that somebody in grade 10 doesn't look at a grade 1 student and say, you're a useless guy. You're in grade 1. I'm in grade 10. You see? So that is not how normally people think, normally students think. Of course, there may be kids who are interested in bullying. But I'm just talking in general, people don't think like that. So like that, Prabhupada was a Nitya Siddha who came down from the spiritual world. Yet, anybody who would accept this process, Prabhupada would be very greatly pleased. Prabhupada said, oh, pure devotee. Now, somebody may be on the first standard or second standard, but Prabhupada considered that this person has genuinely accepted the process that I've given him. So in that sense, Prabhupada would immediately say, pure devotee. That does not mean the person is on the level of Krishna Prema, because there are different levels of pure devotional service. One becomes free from this material desires at the level of anartha nivritti. But before that, one may even have material desires. But as long as one understands, look, this pure devotee, this material desire is useless. I'm not supposed to harbor these kind of material desires. But I'm in a situation where I'm helpless. So I'm trying to depend on the Supreme Lord, which Prabhupada makes this point very, very clear in this purport, that a pure devotee depends only on the Supreme Lord. Now, recently, there was a devotee who asked me this question about us, Krishna and karma. So I explained to her, this was a question asked to me on the internet, so I explained to her that there is no such thing in terms of the context, there is no such thing as us, Krishna and karma, speaking in context. That there is only us and Krishna, that is the conception of pure devotional service. There is us and Krishna. We may have our karma, we may have so many different things, but it is Krishna who actually handles our karma. Once we enter the process of pure devotional service, it is Krishna who handles our karma. Whether he decides to give us our full karma, whether he decides to give us partial karma, whether he decides to rearrange our karma, whatever he does, that is up to him. But the process of pure devotional service means to accept there is only us, Sarva Dharman Paritejya. You're forgetting all other things. My karma, so what should be the astrological remedy for this? What should be the remedy from a faith healer? What should be the remedy from this healer, that healer, from this psychologist, from that psychologist? That is not how we think. We may have our karmas, we may have our imperfections. So that's why Prabhupada says, the pure devotee does not depend on the demigod. Because the problem is, the moment we think there is us, Krishna and our karma, then immediately this concept comes, there is some karma which is separate. So we need to handle this. Somehow or the other, we need to handle this. So the only ways that we know of handling is astrology, because it reveals our karma. Or maybe a psychologist. He can tell you who you really are. You know, I mean, he's our best well-wisher, the psychologist, because he can tell you who you are. So we get into all these misconceptions. That is the problem when we think of karma separately. There is only Krishna and there is us. All our karmas are directly handled by Krishna. And that is a fact, because Prabhupada directly mentions this in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya introduction. Prabhupada writes that when one surrenders to Krishna, when one takes up to this process of pure devotional service, Krishna takes direct charge. So we leave it to Krishna. If you want to give us our whole karma, fine. If you want to give us whatever you want, unconditionally we accept. Because Krishna knows best. So whatever he puts us through is a learning curve for us. It's a progress curve. He puts us on the path of advancement. It's not that Krishna is just, okay, he's just letting you, okay, you just suffer. Whatever karma you have, you suffer. But I'll also give you some bhakti. No, Krishna is not doing that. Rather, Krishna is actually directly handling charge of a devotee who has surrendered to the process of pure devotional service. So Prabhupada writes that, when the Lord says he takes charge of his pure devotee, he actually takes direct charge. Now, if you want to know this in a little detail, to this devotee, I actually quoted this, but then she asked me back. That means only the great devotees. So, we'll just go to Canto 10, chapter 14, text 8. Tatte nukam pamsu samikshamano gunja nevatma kritam vipakam hridva vapur bir vidadan namaste jivetayo mukti sade mukti pade sadhaya bak. So in this purport, Prabhupada makes it very, very clear. He says, of course, it's a long purport, and due to paucity of time, I would not get into the whole purport now. I will just quote the last paragraph of this purport. A sincere devotee earnestly desires to go back to the Lord's abode. So he's talking of a sincere devotee. Therefore, he willingly accepts the Lord's merciful punishment and continues offering respects and obeisances to the Lord with his heart, words and body. Such a bona fide servant of the Lord, considering all hardship a small price to pay for gaining the association of the Lord, certainly becomes a legitimate son of God, as indicated here by the words, Dayabhak. Just as one cannot approach the sun without becoming fire, one cannot approach the Supreme Lord, Lord Krishna, Supreme Pure Lord Krishna, without undergoing a rigid purificatory process, which may appear like suffering. Notice the word Prabhupada says, which may appear like suffering, but which is in fact a curative treatment administered by the personal hand of the Lord. So the Prabhupada is very emphatic, which may appear like suffering, but which is in fact a curative treatment administered by the personal hand of the Lord. A little earlier, Prabhupada actually mentions that the unhappiness suffered by a sincere devotee is not technically a karmic reaction. Prabhupada emphasizes it very clearly. Unhappiness suffered by a sincere devotee is not technically a karmic reaction. It is rather the Lord's special mercy for inducing his devotee to completely let go of the material world and return home back to Godhead. So that is the standard of pure devotional service, where we simply depend on the Supreme Lord, and the Supreme Lord takes care of our karma, whatever he wants to do with it. That he wants to give us partly, fully, rearrange it, whatever, or something else we want to do. Whatever it is the Lord who handles the life of a pure devotee. So we just have to surrender to this process. And this process of pure devotional service can be accepted by anybody. It's simply a question of willingness. Whether we are qualified, unqualified, fit, unfit, man, woman, born in India, not born in India, whatever it may be, very sinful, whatever may be our past, but everybody is equally eligible. Not that somebody is more equal, somebody is less equal. Everybody is equally eligible to take up to the process of pure devotional service by the mercy of a pure devotee. Now, what level is a different thing, but at least you're eligible to get into that school. So Prabhupada has created this school called ISKCON. Get into that school and practice Krishna consciousness, practice the process. So that's what Prabhupada wants us to do. Practice this process of Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada says, practice, but that's not perfect. Perfect means you also preach. Prabhupada mentions that in his purport to that Anyabhilashita Shunyam verse, where I think when I was reading it, I emphasized it, that Prabhupada mentions, therefore, one who spreads this philosophy of Krishna consciousness for the benefit of all conditioned souls in the universe is perfect in pure devotional service. You have to be perfectly situated to attain pure love. You cannot be imperfectly situated. So to be perfectly situated, first of all, you have to practice, and you also have to preach to others. It's not a question of just being situated, but you have to be perfectly situated in pure devotional service. So that is the formula that has been given to us by Srila Prabhupada, that we depend exclusively on the mercy of the Lord, and which is possible. Like I've several times mentioned in my classes about the example of Kardama Muni, which is a very classic example for us to learn from, where Kardama Muni, even though he has this desire to get married, for example, that's what is being talked about in this verse, the desire to have a family. So Kardama Muni has a similar desire. Although he is very nicely practicing pure devotional service, he still has that desire. But what is his attitude when the Supreme Lord personally appears in front of him? Kardama Muni says, I know I'm shameless. I know this is crazy, whatever, in modern terms. But I'm not able to let go of this. So you please handle this. And again, Kardama Muni, as I've explained, he was such a powerful yogi that after he gets married, he creates so many beautiful women. He could have just created one of those beautiful women and simply got married to her. But he doesn't do that. He doesn't depend on his own endeavor. He depends on the Supreme Lord. And Prabhupada writes there that he also does not depend on the wife of Lord Shiva. Generally, if you need to get a good wife, then you need to pray to Lord Shiva. But pure devotees don't do that. For everything, they just depend on the Supreme Lord. And third thing, he does not even ask for anything specific from the Supreme Lord. Kardama Muni, although he knew the existence of Devahuti, who was considered the most beautiful woman, the Miss Universe of that time, he knew about her existence. Still, he doesn't tell Krishna when he personally appears, "I'm shameless, but still, can you please arrange for Devahuti to get married to me?" He doesn't even do that. So he does not depend on his own endeavor. He does not depend on the demigods. He does not ask for anything specific from the Lord. He simply says, "I have this material desire. Oh Lord, I'm not able to overcome this. So kindly be merciful upon me." That is the standard of pure devotional service. And this all of us can do. Even though we all have, there may be many devotees in this room who are extraordinary souls. I'm just talking in general. So even when I say we, it is just general. So even though we may have material desires, this is the way we can handle it. Anybody, irrespective of our qualifications, anybody can do this much. We don't have to depend on our own endeavor. We don't have to depend on the demigods. And we don't have to depend on, ask the Lord for anything specific. Whatever is our material desires which we are not able to overcome, that we can present to the Lord and depend on His mercy to solve that problem. So that is the standard of pure devotional service. So nobody is excluded from the process of pure devotional service. And pure devotional service also means, it does not mean that you enroll in a school. Okay, you enroll, you become, you get into first standard or whatever. But it also means to progress. It is not enough to just get enrolled in the school. So it is an active process where we constantly engage in the process of devotional service. We purify ourselves constantly. Purify ourselves of all these material desires. Please the spirit, please founder Acharya, please our superiors, and we preach this message of Krishna consciousness. And so that is the essential understanding of what it means to practice this path of pure devotional service. And once we do that, then Krishna prema is assured. So Prabhupada assures us that this is the way to practice it. And if we please Him, then we are assured of success. So on Radhashtami, if we want to please Srimati Radharani, we have to please Srila Rupa Goswami, whose teachings have been given to us by Prabhupada. So we have to understand what is given in Nectar of Devotion. Apply the teachings in our life, as Prabhupada says, constantly, moment to moment. And Prabhupada created that spirit. If you notice in the Bhagavad Gita, in a purport, he writes that even the householders in our movement are as good as the sannyasis. What does that mean? What do you mean as good? What does that mean? Because does it mean their renunciation is as good? The sannyasi may be more renounced. So what Prabhupada means is that the intensity, the desire to attain the highest goal of life, all of them exhibit equally. They may be in different statuses. Materially, somebody may be more renounced, somebody is less renounced, maybe different platforms. But in terms of intensity, that's where equates sannyasis and them. Because they're all constantly engaged in this process of pure devotional service. So ultimately, it does not matter what level at one is at. But everybody, it is not only for the sannyasis who have to practice Tivrena Bhakti Yogena. For us, it is not Tivrena Bhakti Yogena plus some astrology, plus some psychology, plus some this. No. That Tivrena Bhakti Yogena is for the sannyasis, for the grahasthas, for all people in the Krishna consciousness movement. That is the spirit of the Krishna consciousness movement which Prabhupada has established. And let me state it again. I mentioned in my last class that to understand how to practice this Krishna consciousness process well, we have to read Prabhupada's books. There is no other way, especially in the kind of situation that we live in today, where we have access to so many books, so many translations, so many different things. So unless we thoroughly study Prabhupada's books day after day after day, we cannot remain steadfast on this path of pure devotional service. I'm not saying that the other books are a challenge, but I'm just saying that you cannot neglect this and then get into something else. You have to keep this. Only this will help us to discriminate what is actually pure devotional service, what is not, and what is actually our Siddhanta and what is not. So Prabhupada's books are a very important, it's the most critical element of the Krishna consciousness movement. And you take away the books, the whole movement collapses. So therefore, we have to be completely focus and surrender to the process of accepting the knowledge of Krishna consciousness and practice of Krishna consciousness as explained by Prabhupada in his books. Prabhupada said, if you really want to know me, read my books. So this should be our, in my opinion, this should be our Radhashtami meditation. And since today's Lalita Devi's appearance day, I've been asked to speak a little bit about Lalita Devi. So I'll just briefly read out about her. Lalita. Of these eight gopis, the first one, Lalita, is the best. She is a dear friend of the divine couple and she is 27 years old, the eldest of Krishna's gopi friends. Lalita is famous as Sridmati Radharani's constant companion and follower. Lalita is contrary and hot-tempered by nature. Her complexion is like the yellow pigment Gorochana, and her garments are like peacock feathers. Her mother is Sharada Devi and her father is Vishoka. Her husband is named Bhairava. He is a close friend of Govardhana Gopa. So her complexion in terms of the Gorochana pigment, actually Gorochana is a banned substance in India, or I think in other parts of the world also, because it grows on the forehead of a cow. We use that Gorochana for Lord Narasimhadev's Abhishek for... So I guess that most of us may not have seen the Gorochana. I've seen it, but Janivas Prabhu, you remember it being yellow? I don't remember seeing it as yellow. Some kind of faint yellow. Golden, yeah. It's more golden, yes. I noticed that it was quite kind of... There's some shiny elements in that. Okay, and a little bit more about her. This is from Sri Radha Krishna Ganodeshak Deepika from by Rupa Goswami. Among these most exalted gopis who are most dear to Krishna, the leader and controller is Lalita Devi. Lalita Devi is full of ecstatic love for the divine couple. She's expert at arranging both their meeting and their conjugal struggle. Sometimes for Sri Radha's sake, she offends Lord Madhava. The beauty of all the other gopis appears to be conserved in the form of Lalita Devi. In an argument, her mouth becomes bent with ferocious anger and she expertly speaks the most outrageous and arrogant replies. When the arrogant gopis pick a quarrel with Krishna, she is in the forefront of the conflict. When Radha and Krishna meet, she audaciously remains standing a little away from them. With the help of Purnamasi and other gopis, she arranges for the meeting of Radha and Krishna. She carries the parasol for the divine couple, she decorates them with flowers, and she decorates the cottage where they rest at night and rise in the morning. Srimati Lalita Devi ki jai, Sri Radhashtami ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. So if there are any comments or questions. Yes,
I was hearing your lecture regarding the books, importance of the books in Sadhana Bhakti. So, in the lecture, he was quoting about Srila Prabhupada, what he mentioned about the importance of book reading. So, there is one person, he approached Srila Prabhupada and then told that Srila Prabhupada, your disciples are always reading books. They will become bookworms. So Srila Prabhupada didn't respond initially. And then he repeated three times the same sentence. So finally Srila Prabhupada told him that if they don't read my books, they become stool worms. Or worms in the stool.
Where is this? Where is this reference?
I was hearing a lecture by His Grace Gauranga Prabhu from his Chaupati.
It's good, it's very interesting. Thank you for sharing. Yeah, the point is that reading Prabhupada's books is not some process of jnana. It is pure bhakti, which is one of the recommended things. How are you going to follow Prabhupada if you don't understand what he wants? And you can understand Prabhupada, as he said, Prabhupada said, I'm completely present in my books. So if you really understand him, you don't understand him fully by analyzing his activities. First of all, you read his books. Only then you can understand his activities. For example, I've read a letter, since I didn't think that this question may come up. But I've read a letter, I can show that to you, where Prabhupada, once somebody asked him about translating his conversations and other things, you know. Transcribing it, and Prabhupada is not happy. He was in fact a little bit annoyed with that. He said, why is that needed? He said, whatever I've spoken in my books. I'm not speaking anything differently there. So, it's not that Prabhupada in his actions and his conversations, he's revealing something secret or something new. So first of all, we read his books. And because what happens is, if you don't read his books, you don't understand his actions. Because you cannot directly infer things from his actions. You're not supposed to imitate the activities of a pure devotee. You're supposed to follow his instructions. Because Prabhupada did so many things which we cannot do. For example, like during Prabhupada's disappearance, he wore some ring, some sapphire ring or something. Now if a disciple thinks, if a follower thinks, Prabhupada wore a sapphire ring, so I can wear it, one will fall into a great misunderstanding. That is a pure devotee doing something. But what is his instruction to us? Astrology is meant for fools. You surrender to Krishna. Prabhupada said, with one stroke of his kick, Krishna can kick so many Rahu planets. That is his instruction to us. So we are not meant to be doing, going to this demigod, that demigod, trying to put some ring. No, that's not our process. The process is what Prabhupada told us. Because when you study, try to understand Prabhupada's conversations or try to read his pastimes, then you get some kind of funny ideas like this. But if you read his books, read his instructions, then you can never get into the misunderstanding. Then you understand a pure devotee can do all these things, but we are not supposed to do these kind of things. Okay, if there are any other questions or comments. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.
আমি গিয়ে ভৌম মর্তলকে এরকম লীলা করব যা দেখে যে লীলা আমি বৈকুণ্ঠ আদিতে করি না, বৈকুণ্ঠ অযোধ্যা বৃন্দাবনে করি না, যে লীলা শ্রবণ করে সবাই চমৎকার হবে। তো সে লীলা কি যোগমায়া সংগঠিত করছেন বর্তমান? তো বুঝ, এই সমস্ত ব্রজগোপিকা রাধারাণী তারা গোলক বৃন্দাবনে নিত্য সহচরী রূপে অনাদিকাল থেকে সাক্ষাৎ সেবা করছে, সাক্ষাৎ সেবা করে আনন্দ পাচ্ছে। কিন্তু পরকীয় রসের মাধুর্যটা কি না যোগমায়া এরা সৃষ্টি করেছে পরিবেশ এই ভৌম লীলাতে, যে ব্রজগোপিকারা অন্য কিছু গোপবালকদেরকে বিবাহ করেছে। কেন ভগবানের সমস্ত কার্যকলাপ যোগমায়া দ্বারা সংগঠিত হয়, মহামায়া দ্বারা সংগঠিত হয় না। তো বাহ্যিকভাবে দেখানো হচ্ছে এরা সব অন্য সমস্ত গোপ বালকদের সঙ্গে বিবাহ করেছে। কেন না যে এটা দেখানো হবে, তাহলে রাধারানী মনে করবে যে আমার একটা স্বামী রয়েছে, আমার সংসারের নিয়ম রয়েছে, পতিধর্ম রয়েছে, বন্ধন রয়েছে, প্রতিবন্ধক রয়েছে। তো কৃষ্ণের প্রতি তার যে আকর্ষণ অত ব্যগ্র অত বেড়ে যাবে, সেই সমস্ত প্রতিবন্ধকে অতিক্রম করে আমি ভগবান কাছে পৌঁছাতে হবে। যেটাকে গোলক বৃন্দাবনের সুযোগ নেই, গোলক বৃন্দাবনের কোনো প্রতিবন্ধক নেই। তো আমি কৃষ্ণ নিত্য সহচরী, তার সেবা করছি, কিন্তু প্রেম আরো গাঢ় হবে, তীব্র হবে যখন প্রেমিকাকে তার প্রতিবন্ধককে অতিক্রম করে তার প্রিয় বস্তুর কাছে সেকে পৌঁছাতে পারবে। তো প্রেমকে আরো ঘনীভূত করবার জন্য যোগময় এ সমস্ত প্রতিবন্ধক সৃষ্টি করেছে। রাধারানীর মনে ভয় আসবে, সে ভয়তে ভগবান কাছে পৌঁছাতে যাবে। রাধারানীও জানে না, যোগময়ের প্রভাব রাধারানীও জানতে পারে না কৃষ্ণ আমার নিত্য পতি, কৃষ্ণও বুঝতে পারে না যে রাধারানী আমার নিত্য সহচরী। এই সমস্ত লীলা যোগময় সংগঠিত করে, কৃষ্ণ বুঝতে পারে না আর ব্রজগোপিকারাও বুঝতে পারে না। তাহলে কি হবে, তাদের প্রেমের ভাবকে আরো তীব্র আরো গাঢ় প্রগাঢ় করবার জন্য সমস্ত বাধা বিঘ্ন সব কিছু অতিক্রম করে তাদের কাছে যাবে। আসলে এইগুলো গোলক বৃন্দাবন রয়েছে, সেম জিনিস এই যুগেতেও রয়েছে, শুধু পার্থক্য হচ্ছে কি সেখানে এগুলো যুক্তিযুক্ত, এখানে যুক্তিযুক্ত নয়। এই জন্য যুক্তিযুক্ত নয়, ভগবান যে লীলাভাবে তার স্বরূপ সৎসঙ্গ করছেন আর আমরা সেগুলি যদি প্রয়োগ করি তার স্বরূপ সৎসঙ্গ আমরা করছি না, তো সেখানে যথার্থ ভগবান ক্ষেত্রে যথার্থ তো আমাদের ক্ষেত্রে যথার্থ হবে না। আর ভগবান সঙ্গে কৃষ্ণের সঙ্গে এই ব্রজগোপিকাদের যে বিবাহ হয় না তাও নয়, আমরা শাস্ত্র থেকে দেখতে পাচ্ছি কয়েকবার বিবাহ হয়েছে, কয়েকবার রাধারানীর সঙ্গে বিবাহ হয়েছে। যেরকম শাস্ত্র বর্ণনা করা হচ্ছে যে রাধারানীর বিবাহ, তখন তো বাল্যবিধ বিবাহ ছিল, আমরা সবাই জানো যে কিভাবে যখন ব্রহ্ম বিমোহন লীলা হলো সমস্ত গোপ বালকদেরকে নিয়ে ব্রহ্মা লুকিয়ে রেখেছে গুফার ভিতরে, আর সমস্ত বাড়ি বাড়িতে কে কে রয়েছে, বাড়িতে বাড়িতে কে রয়েছে না কৃষ্ণ গোপ বালক রূপ ধারণ করে সব বাড়ি বাড়িতে রয়েছেন, এক বছর জন ছিলেন। গোপ বালক গুলো যাদের সঙ্গে বিবাহ হলো এই গোপীদের তার কোনো শুয়ে আছে ওখানে গুফার তো শুয়ে আছে, কৃষ্ণ বাড়িতে বাড়িতে গিয়ে রয়েছেন। আর তখন পূর্ণমাসী কি বলেছে ব্রজবাসীদেরকে, দেখো এই বছর যে বিয়ে দেবে আর খুব তার ভালো হবে, এই লগ্ন লগ্ন নক্ষত্রটা খুব ভালো, আর ব্রজবাসী খুব সরল, সে বাঁচা কাঁচা যত মেয়ে ছিল সব ছেলেদের সঙ্গে বিয়ে করে দিয়েছে, তা সবার সঙ্গে বিয়ে কার সঙ্গে বিবাহ হলো, সব বিবাহ হয়েছে, সব কৃষ্ণের সঙ্গে বিবাহ হয়েছে। তখন রাধারানীর সঙ্গে অভিমানের বিবাহ আছে, অভিমানের বিবাহ আছে। তখন একজন আচার্য বলছেন তার কৃষ্ণ ছোট শিশু ছিল, কৃষ্ণ রাধাকে সময়ের মধ্যে মাপলে হবে না, কে বড় কে ছোট কত বড় এইসব করে মাথা খারাপ হয়ে যাবে, তাকে তারা তখন তখন যে কোনো রূপ ধারণ করতে পারে। ছোট শিশু কৃষ্ণকে নিয়ে নন্দ মহারাজ গোচরণে গেছেন, খুব ঝড় বৃষ্টি এসে গেছে, তখন কৃষ্ণ গলা জড়িয়ে ধরেছে, বাবা বাবা বলে কান্না করে, নন্দ মহারাজ কি গাইদেরকে সম্ভাল দেবো না বাচ্চাকে সম্ভাল দেবো। তখন নন্দ মহারাজ দেখছে সে রাধানী কিশোরী রূপ ধারণ করে আসছে, রাধানী শিশু কৃষ্ণকে কোলে করে নিয়ে যাচ্ছে, হ্যাঁ তার কুঞ্জেতে নিয়ে যাচ্ছে, এসব অদ্ভুত লীলা, কে বড় কে ছোট এই ভৌতিক যদি মাপ করতে যাবো কে কার বয়স বেশি কার, তাহলে সব বিভ্রান্তিকর হবে, এগুলো বিচার করার নেই। তো রাধারানীর সঙ্গে অভিমানের বিবাহ আছে, তো বিবাহে তার বসে আছে, তো দূরে কৃষক খুব জোরে কান্না করতে শুরু করেছে, ছোট ছোট কৃষক কোলে ধরে, তো সবাই বলছে আরে কান্না যত করে খেলা খেলনা টেলনা থেকে বন্ধই করে না। তখন কেউ বলছে আরে ওই বিবাহ মণ্ডপে বাজনা বাজছে ওইখানে নিয়ে যাওয়া গেলে হয়তো ও কান্না বন্ধ করে দেবে। তাকে বিবাহ মণ্ডপ যখন নিয়ে গেছে অভিমান তার মামা তো আদর করে তাকে কোলে নিয়েছে, কোলে ধরে বসে আছে। এদিকে বিবাহ যে ব্রাহ্মণ সে বিয়েটের ব্যবস্থা করবে, ছেলে মেয়েদের হাত জুড়বে না, এরকম জুড়ায় না হাত জুড়াবে, তো যখন সে ব্রাহ্মণ কি করছে রাধারানীর হাত সঙ্গে অভিমানের হাত জুড়াবে, কৃষ্ণ লটখট তো সে অভিমানের হাত টেনে উনার হাত বসিয়ে দিয়েছে ওখানে। তা এখানে বাচ্চা থেকেই বিয়ে হচ্ছে, হ্যাঁ ভান্ডারী ভান্ডে গিয়েছে, কিন্তু রাধারানী ওখানে নিয়ে গেছে, সে ব্রহ্মা এসে স্বয়ং সাক্ষাৎটাকে বিবাহ দিয়েছে। তার গোচরণে যখন ব্রহ্ম বিমোহন লীলায় গোপ বালকের চরি করে তখন বিবাহের কতবার বিয়ে করবে, তখন তোমার বুঝবো যে এরা হচ্ছে কৃষ্ণের স্ত্রী বলে, কিন্তু অতবার বিবাহ করা সত্ত্বেও কাউকে বুঝতে দেওয়া হয় না, কেন সবাই তো বুঝতে পারে তাহলে প্রতিবন্ধটা আসবে কি করে, তো পরকীয়া রস আস্বাদন তো বিঘ্ন হবে। তাই যোগমায়া এসব সংগঠন করছে, এই যোগমায়া কিভাবে এই সমস্ত ষোলো সহস্র একশো আট রমণীদেরকে ভগবান সঙ্গে দ্বারকায় বিবাহ হয়েছে, তো ভগবান আবার দ্বারকা থেকে ফিরে এসে কিভাবে গোপীদের সঙ্গে বিবাহ করেছেন, এ সমস্ত তত্ত্বগত লীলা না জানার দরুন সারা জগৎ তো একটা অন্ধের মতন থাকছে, আর আমাদের হিন্দু সমাজও অন্ধের মতন আছে। আমি আশা করি যদি আমাদের গোস্বামীর আচার্যরা ভগবান শ্রীকৃষ্ণের রাধারানী গোপীদের সঙ্গে এই সমস্ত তথাকথিত অনৈতিক লীলার পিছনে কি যথার্থতা রয়েছে, কি তাৎপর্যতা রয়েছে, অন্তত পক্ষে দার্শনিক দৃষ্টিভঙ্গি থেকে লোকেদের জানা উচিত, এই সমস্ত বিভিন্ন কারণ নিয়ে, হ্যাঁ যে কীভাবে ভগবান কৃষ্ণের সঙ্গে রাধারানীর সম্পর্কটা যুক্তিযুক্ত। তার মধ্যে যারা অবশ্যই এইসব জিনিস সবাই শুনলে যুক্তিযুক্ত বলে তাদের প্রতীয়মান হবে না, যারা সেরকম সাধন ভজন করছেন, সদ্গুরুর আশ্রয় রয়েছেন, বৈষ্ণব সঙ্গে রয়েছেন, তাদের আরও শীঘ্র বোধগম্য হবে। যারা তার্কিক যুক্তি করবে তাদের তো বোধগম্য হবে না, কিন্তু অন্তত আমাদের ভক্তদের বোধগম্য হবে। যেহেতু আমাদের বৈষ্ণবদের আচার্যদের কথা অনুসারে ভগবান কৃষ্ণ সঙ্গে রাধারানী গোপীদের লীলা বিলাস কথা শ্রবণ করার চেষ্টা করছি, তো এই সম্পর্কে যদি আরও বেশি কিছু থাকে আমার মনে নেই, আমি ছেড়ে গেলাম কালকে, তো তারপরে বলবো আরও। তাছাড়া আমি আগামীকালকে ভগবান শ্রীকৃষ্ণের তোমাদের কাছে একটা অজানা লীলা বলবো, অজানা লীলা, অজানা অজানা লীলা, কেউ জানে না, যদি বা কেউ কেউ জেনে থাকো শুনে থাকো। আমি দুইবার অলরেডি বর্ণনা করেছি এই ব্যাপারে, একবার কানে নাকশালা করেছিলাম ব্রহ্মচারীদের জন্য, আরেকবার শিলিগুড়ি থেকে কিছু অংশ করেছিলাম। এই অজানা কথা কালকে শুনবো, যদিও জানা থাকে এটা তো চর্চা হয় না, তো আমার চাই গোস্বামীরা অত কষ্ট করে লিখেছে আমাদের ভক্তরা আস্তে আস্তে জানুক, তা আগামীকালকে সেটা আমরা আলোচনা করব। জয় শ্রীমতী রাধারাণী কি, জয় শ্রী রাধা মাধব অষ্টকে কি, গৌর প্রেমানন্দে।
Thank you. আপনি ওটা দেখে যাবো।